Blog Talk Radio. right, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina with the first day of the week again, another episode of the Yehuda Project. Glad to be here today. Glad to have you guys here today, and all things are well. Hallelujah. You know, we woke up this morning. We're on the other side of the dirt. All praises be to the Most High Yah. It is a blessing. You know, it's a shame that it takes you to get older to appreciate life, you know, the things that are most important. But all praises that he has allowed us to live to see another day, and we're here to be able to encourage one another, uplift one another, you know, and support one another in this walk. And we just thank you so much for being here and being consistent listeners. You know, again, this is not pre-scripted. You know, this is what the Most High puts on our heart to talk about. You know, we had a wonderful class again yesterday. I know it was because every time I put it up on YouTube, you know, the numbers just start to fly. And I thank you all for listening to us. You know, those that are listening on YouTube, I hope that we have been truly a blessing to you in your learning and studying that word, because there's nothing like the word of God. There's nothing like that Bible. That is one of the best stories that you can tell your children, and all that good stuff is just rich full of stuff. You know, and I didn't even realize it until I got old. Well, when I was younger, I was into it. But then as life progressed, I kind of fell away from it. And then came back as I was older to really understand how powerful our Elohim is and who he is. So it's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle to know all these things. And, you know, we hope and wish that we could pass this stuff on to our families, and if they could be as excited as we are. But you know what, there comes a time when you just have to realize that, you know, every man has to take his own journey. Everybody has to have their own journey. And, you know, the Most High is in charge of the journey. we can't control it, you know. We don't want to see our families suffer. We don't want to see our families go through and have, you know, go through the things that they have to go through. But we had to go through ours, you know. And they tried to help us out what they could. But some of the stuff we have to learn, because how else will we learn the lesson? You know, the Bible tells you, taste not, touch not, handle not. And that's what it means, you know. But you got, in order for you to understand the stove is hot, you got to get burned. I mean, it's just simple, you know. And you sometimes you have to let them get burned a little bit, you know. Not burned up, but just burnt a little bit so you understand. You bet you won't do that again, will you? You know, I say that all the time. I say that to my nephews and nieces all the time. I bet my kids too. I bet you won't do that no more, will you? And that's how the Most High does it. He said, I'm going to show you what sin is. I'm getting ready to show you just how raunchy it can get, you know, because when we was coming up, it was, you said a cuss word, everybody was like, oh, no, she didn't. You know, especially in church. But now it ain't, they didn't took all, ain't no, they doing it all. There's no holes, bars, there's nothing here. They doing it all. And everybody is just kind of looking like, are you kidding me? You know, and all you can do is, you know, you unfortunately, those type of lessons, if you make it out unscathed, you can say that, I bet you won't do that no more. You know, you have to understand there's a reason for the law. The law was given for a reason. The law is so that the Bible, the Most High told you, if you do them, you shall live in them. And what a wonderful life it is when you live it. You know, and there's no condemnation. There's nothing, you know, when you live this thing every day, it's a beautiful thing to live. It's not perfect, because nothing is perfect. But you avoid a lot of things when you keep Yah's law. You avoid a lot of things. You really do. You know, so as we know that, you know, some of us had to go through the school of hard knocks to get that lesson. You know, like, no, I ain't doing that. Don't you want to? Nope, I don't even want to do that. Nope. You don't want to go have? Nope, I don't want to do that either. I ain't looking at you like, you're boring. Well, I just be boring because I'm not doing that. I already know what the end of that's going to be, you know. And sometimes you have to let people know that, unfortunately, you know, but it's a beautiful thing to walk this walk and to live this life, you know, because the one thing you do know is you have his protection, you know, because the devil's party is always full. The demons is there. They're there early. They get there early. They want to make sure they get a front row seat because they're going to experience what it is they want to experience, you know. And unfortunately, some of us go into the party naive, thinking that everybody is angels, and it ain't. And most of the party is filled up with demons. You know, you have to understand what that means. You know, they don't have no limitation. Anything and everything goes. So it's unfortunate, you know, that we have to watch our family members and some of our children and our grandchildren and nieces and nephews go through this. You know, all we can do is warn them. Like, don't go that way. I know, let me be young. You was young once. Okay, well, go ahead. Then have it your way. You'll be back. And I'm going to tell you what I told everybody else. I bet you won't do that no more, will you? You know, we have to have them conversations. Like, okay, well, go ahead. You'll be back. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know. So, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, but all praises. We'll be here for you when we need to pray, when it comes time for us to pray for you, because that's all we can do. You know, and I think that as you mature in this walk and you understand what this walk is all about, you just come to that conclusion like, look, I ain't arguing with nobody else. I'm not forcing this down your throat. When your time comes, the Most High open up your eyes and you'll get to see, and I'll pray for you in the meantime and keep doing what I'm doing. That's all you can do at the end of the day. So, you know, all praise be to His high and holy name. You know, we serve the God of Israel. You know, His name was Israel in the Old Testament. It was Israel, you know, that did all the things that He did. It was Israel that created the heavens and the earth. It was Israel. Yes, it was. He did all these things. All high to His high and holy name. He's worthy to be praised. You know, I heard a lot of the Christian pastors used to say, it's Jesus in the Old Testament. It was Jesus. No, sir, it was Israel. His name was Israel in the Old Testament. You know, and it was important. You know, we didn't get to that last night when we were talking, but, you know, people have to understand why the Messiah came. He had to come to be, He had to be born of the woman with flesh and blood so that blood could be shed, so He could fulfill the sacrificial law. You know, so all this is just good stuff. I don't ever get enough. Am I talking too much? Somebody push me on. I'd rather talk to somebody else. I mean, I really would. How you guys doing? Somebody let me know that you can hear me. All praises be to the Most High. Yeah, I won't keep you on there long. I just want to make sure you can hear me. I guess you can still hear me because you're still here. But, yeah, it's a miracle. And the Bible just opens up. It just comes alive. It's a thing, you know, where you have to be able to understand that this is the living word. And we say that all the time, this is the living word, but it's the living way. It really does. It comes alive, you know, and it's real. It's just real. You know, so it's just, you know, but these young folk, we got to do something. We're going to have to really, really pray for these young people. Because, you know, the music they listening to and everything is just off the chain. These young folks is, hey, man, listen, they, Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't even know what to say. It's just too much. It's just too much. Y'all help them. Please help them. You know, this is a generation. This generation is, woo, Lord have mercy. But I guess we the old people now, you guys, we have to pray for them, you know. We was young once, too, and we have to pray for them, you know. But there's been a lot going on in the news. Anybody have anything in particular you'd like to discuss, please don't hesitate, you know, to say something. I'm just trying to make conversation until somebody pushes one. Anything you want to talk about? How did you like class yesterday? You know, I noticed that the men was real quiet. I hope I didn't offend any of the men. It was never my intention to do that. But, you know, we have to bring it all out. You know, it all has to come out. It was kind of tough, you know, because, you know, we women have been made to feel really guilty about what Eve did. And Eve messed up. She did. She shouldn't have did that. She really messed up, but you know, and we suffer from that in childbirth. You know, that was that, and you know, I have not felt too many pains that feel like that. You know, but we suffer in childbirth. You know, and he was given a punishment as well. You know, that he was gonna have to till the ground. But I'm telling you, when you really start getting into that word and understand what really happened with that disobedience, that's some serious stuff. That is truly some serious stuff, you know, so it's just, you know, it's all very interesting. You know, I think that, you know, I didn't, you know, like I said, when everybody got quiet, I'm like, oh, shoot. I hope we weren't offensive to anyone. You know, we never mean to be. We never mean to be offensive in any way, you know, or anything of that nature. You know, but we just wanted to make sure that we put that out there because we had to explain. We had to explain how the Messiah was of the seed of David according to the flesh. You know, and that's exactly what we did. You know, we put that out there like that. It was kind of raw, but it was necessary. You know, we had to do it. So I just want to, you know, I don't want to keep talking to myself. Anybody else have anything to say? Anything we need to share? Anybody want to share something? Please feel free to push one. You know, I don't really have anything in particular to say other than we on our way home. You know, we can hear that 1,000 times and not hear it enough. We on our way out of here. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, and we've been here for so long, and we've been doing this for so long, you know, every Sunday, which is a blessing. I mean, I need it like you do, you know, but I do need somebody to talk back to me. Can somebody push one? Somebody? Anybody? Y'all just enjoy me talking. I get tired of talking sometimes. I really do. I really, really, really do. I seen some on the news where there was a... Well, somebody in Russia just got blew up. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see. Something happened. Or one of Putin's leaders or something. Something happened. Here it is. Right here. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to play that for you. Just give me 1 second. Hold on, here we go.
To the news, we begin in Russia, where police have launched a murder investigation after the daughter of a pro-Kremlin commentator was killed in a car bomb explosion near Moscow. Unverified social media footage showed Daria Dugina's father, Alexander, at the scene shortly after the bombing. Both have supported Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Well, Alexander Dugin is a Russian philosopher, political analyst, and strategist. He was the chief editor at the pro-Kremlin Tsargrad TV station. Dugin was reportedly helped or shaped Vladimir Putin's expansionist foreign policies and has been called often Putin's brain. Now, he was involved in the Russian president's initiative for the annexation of Crimea and considered the invasion of Ukraine inevitable. Dugin has previously called for the eradication of Ukrainian identity. Well, Samuel Romani is an associate fellow at the Royal United Services Institute and joins me now from Oxford in England. Good to have you with us on the program, sir. I mean, can we make the assumption that the target might have been Alexander Dugin rather than his daughter?
I think it's very likely that the target was Alexander Dugin rather than his daughter. I think that even though Daria Dugina has espoused very similar views to her father, frequently accusing the West of committing Nazism, calling for the annexation of all of Ukraine with the exception of Lviv, and the self-cleansing of Russian society, and her influence is drastically less than her father's.
Well, I mean, who would be the likely suspects? Because both the Kremlin and Ukraine are saying it's not them. But behind the scenes, was Alexander Dugin universally popular within Russia and specifically within the Kremlin?
So Alexander Dugin's actual influence over Russian policy has been grossly overstated. I reject the claims that he is Putin's Rasputin or Putin's brain, which is often the title that's been given them to the Western media. In fact, he never really held an official title within Russia, and his closest partners within the Kremlin were people like Sergei Glazyev, who were dismissed from the Kremlin in 2019. He isn't that in touch with the current establishment, least of all Putin. So I don't think it's really a strike at a major Russian foreign policy decision maker. Of course, the Russian foreign ministry is blaming Ukraine for this, saying that it's part of a pattern of Ukrainian terrorist activity, which extends to the attacks on Crimea, chemical terrorism, and now nuclear terrorism. And, of course, Zelensky's team is saying that Ukraine is not a terrorist state and doesn't commit crimes like...
So I guess they're saying that Ukraine now is responsible for the death of this young woman and that it was really meant for her father, which is not going to be good, child. This is really not going to be good. This is going to go into a whole nother issue when you bombing people's cars and stuff. And his daughter was killed in there. That's serious business. Let me see if I have anywhere else. Hold on just a second.
Hello, welcome to BBC World News. The daughter of one of President Putin's close ideological allies, Alexander Dugin, has been killed in a bomb attack. Russian media says Daria Dugina died after her car exploded near Moscow. There's been no comment from the authorities. Mr. Dugin, seen on the right in this video, witnessed the aftermath of the explosion. He's a strong supporter of the war against Ukraine and is believed to have inspired President Putin. Analysts believe he, rather than his daughter, could have been the intended target of the attack. The pair were reportedly set to travel back to an event in the same car, but at the last moment, Mr. Dugin decided to travel separately. Our Russian correspondent Anastasia Golubeva has been following events.
Daria Dugina and her father, Alexander Dugin, yesterday, they were going from an event and they moved into cars, and it was reported that Alexander Dugin was supposed to be in the car with his daughter, but he switched cars at the very last moment, and the daughter's car exploded eventually, causing her death. And this is why the main belief right now is that it was an attempted killing on Alexander Dugin himself, not the daughter. It was an improvised explosive device that went off onto the bottom of her car. And Russian law enforcement said that the murder of Daria Dugina was a contract killing, but there is no official version on who's behind the death yet. But there are already some speculations. The authorities of self-proclaimed Donetsk Republic said that they blame the explosion on terrorists of the Ukrainian regime, I quote their saying, but Ukrainian authorities has already denied.
Oh, you know it's going to be some drama behind that, you guys. They done killed this man's child, too. They done blew up her car. That is serious business. Lord have mercy. It's always something all the time. I mean, you know, when you, this is the kind of stuff you only see on the movies. They have literally blew up this man's child. Insane. It's just incredible. This is just not going to stop. This is going to take this up to a whole nother level. That's some serious stuff right there. You know, oh my gosh, I can't, that's just too much to even think about. But these are the things that's going on in the world. I mean, you know, when you understand, you know, that these things have to happen, like we said yesterday, these are some of the things that is going on that we have no control over, and it's unfortunate. It is really, really unfortunate that that's happened. That is terrible. I think that is terrible, you know, because you know it's going to be some retaliation behind that right there. That's gonna be something else. I don't know. I mean, on side of the stuff that's going on in America, I could just play video after video after video after video after video. And I'm telling you, the mindset of people today, they have no regard for human life. They have no regard for God. They have no regard for religion. They have no regard for anything, because basically all of the things that we have given, that they have given to society to say these are the true things that give you some moral substance, it's not measuring up. It's not adding up. And it's definitely causing everybody to just kind of walk away from it and leave it. And it's really not good. It is not good at all whatsoever. It really isn't. I mean, you know, when you see this, but I guess we have to watch it. You know, these are the things that we have to watch. And, you know, and see what's going on. But, I mean, you know, when you think about, I mean, even back in the day when you thought about church, there was a certain atmosphere, certain feeling in the atmosphere that religion or the religious people had some say in what's going on in society, that people had certain restrictions as to what they would and they wouldn't do, but not anymore. I mean, you know, the police force is under attack. You know, me and Michael was talking about that today, how there's not really any respect for police officers anymore, and most of them are quitting because they like, you know, you do one thing wrong and you're going to jail, you know, which I feel like it should be in place Because what that does is that allows a lot of people to think twice about the things that they used to get away with that they couldn't. And it's not for the decent man or woman. It's not for that. It's for that other person that uses their badge on an occasion, you know, to be over excessive with whatever they do because they know there's no repercussions and no response accountability to it. So it's not for that, but I mean, you know, it's just not as many law enforcement out there anymore as it used to be. It's not that many people who want to be in law enforcement anymore. You know, I mean, they are targeting the FBI. They are, because of what happened with Trump, they are targeting the FBI, the FBI's families, where they live, where their kids go to school. I mean, this is the stuff, you know, you would never think that they would do this, but they are. They really, really, really are. And this is what, and it appears that this is how a society starts to break down because I've never seen this before in my life. I've never seen people respond and act like, and these are not teenagers. These are not teenage people that's acting like this. These are people that's our age. These are people in their late 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s. They have no regard for government anymore. They have no regard for law enforcement anymore. They have no regard for any sort of moral integrity anymore. It's like, no, we're not doing this no more. And I hate to say this, but January 6th, when that happened, that was just the beginning of the end. Because for people to put that in their heart, that they're going to rush the Capitol building and change something from, it was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And it just has gone, it's starting to just trickle down. It's trickling away. I mean, if you guys think I'm wrong, somebody, you know, please feel free to push one. You know, it's going, and this is what he said. We was going to watch the judgment of this nation. It's incredible. It is truly incredible. And all you have to do is listen to how some of the legislators talk on the internet and how they talk about the other party and how they, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. It's unfortunate. I just have never seen anything like this at all whatsoever, but it's happening every day. It's happening every day on top of everything else. On top of everything else. You know, they're demanding to see law enforcement paperwork to validate whether or not the search that they search warrant that they had was valid and the information behind it. It's like, when did we start doing that? You know? It's incredible. They want to defund the FBI. They want to defund the police. And then what kind of society you think we're going to have? It's incredible. I mean, you know, and when this starts happening, you have to look at the people of the other nations and say, look, this is the Most High showing us where we're headed. And as Israelites, we have to really begin to pray and ask the Most High, you know, to protect us and keep us because it's just not going to get no better. It's just not. I mean, everybody and anybody got guns in their houses, 2-3 different guns in their houses. I mean, you know, it's just nothing. You know, it's anything and everything goes. It's really getting, you know, it can really get scary at some point. It's like, wow, you know, is it really come to that? And it really has. I mean, am I tripping? Am I paranoid? Do you think I'm sounding paranoid? Is it not? I mean, it just seems like everybody is in this thing for whatever happens, whatever goes, goes. If you don't like it, oh well. You know, I don't understand it. I mean, I do understand it. I know why, you know, what's going on, but just to be able to watch it. And today I was sitting there and I was thinking, I wonder what it was like when Babylon was falling apart. You know, because the Most High gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. He told Nebuchadnezzar the order of succession. He said, you're going to be first. And then after you, it was going to be the Medes and the Persians. So you know when he said after you, there was an end mark. There was an end game. After you, there was a final date for the government. And even though he didn't want to accept it, he died. And then, you know, it was a couple of other kings after he died. And then his great-grandson took over. And at that moment, you know, nobody, you know, even though it was given to him, and I'm sure the information was passed down, nobody wanted to accept it. Nobody wanted to accept it. And as his grandson was ruling and reigning and doing the things that he was doing, is when the final end day came. And nobody wanted to accept that it was over. And I wonder what they did, if anything, to be able to just ignore the fact that that was happening, because they didn't retaliate. There was no fight when Babylon was taken over. They came in one night, took the king, subdued the king, and that was it. Then they moved in and took over. There was no fight. There was none. So it is very, very interesting to see, you know, how this is going to play out and what this is going to, because he told us we was going to see it. And we seeing it. How do you guys feel about that? Are you nervous? Do you feel, you know, do you feel anxious? You know, are you excited about it? I mean, I hate to say that word, but I mean, you know, it's, you know, that when you think about the many people that will perish as a result of this, I mean, this is a lot. You know, anybody have a comment, please feel free to push one. And I know that, you know, I don't want you to say it out of anger. And I don't want you, you know, please don't be sarcastic or anything. But I'm just saying, how do you feel about watching all of the stuff that you see? How does that feel, knowing what you know? You know, because we're going to live through some of this stuff. We're living through it today. It's really something else to see the things that we're seeing today. It really is. It really is scary. I'm telling you, it's like, wow. You know, but one thing about the Most High's word, his word does not come back void. You know, it just really does not come back void. And we're seeing that. No matter what we want it to be, it just does not. And he's so subtle with it. He's just subtle with it. And everybody be like, oh, that's just the weather. And we have bad weather all the time. No, some of this stuff is, like she said, at biblical proportion. It ain't just the bad weather. It's at biblical proportion. Some things that have never happened before. You know? Droughts and heat waves and all kind of stuff going on at biblical proportion. And you just wonder, like, wow, crucial. So, you know, I just wanted, you know, to know how you guys felt about that and, you know, how you feel at this moment and what it feels like to be going through this, you know, and because most of the people think it's just going to turn around. And you're like, oh, it'll turn around. It's turned around before. We're not going to worry about it. It's not a big deal. And you're like, oh, okay, all right then. Well, we'll see, you know. It just really is. It's some serious stuff. I mean, you got to watch it when you drive the streets. You got people that are driving the streets that have no regard for the traffic, the speed limits. You know how many people have been killed in the last week because somebody has been driving, these kids have been stealing cars and driving through the street at 90 and 100 miles an hour? It has at least been a total of 12 people that have died this week. Along with that, well, between this week and last week with the California crash, 12 people. That's a lot of people that have died on the roads just because of irresponsibility. The one group of kids was driving in an SUV Mercedes. He was driving so fast that when he crashed, he hit a tree and split the car in half. Four teenagers died at the same time. ridiculous stuff. Hold on. Area code 904, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Yain, I just wanted to answer your question. You know, you asked how do we feel or how do I feel, you know, seeing the things that we're saying today. You know, I got mixed emotions on it. Some of the things I'm saying, I really don't like it. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy at the same time because I know it's going to lead to where we need to go as Israelites. So there's mixed feelings there. I mean, the world has gotten so mean, but I think it's going to get worse. So I'm bracing myself to see whatever comes. But I know, you know, the Most High said Israel will be saved out of it. So that's the hope that I hold on to while we're going through, because we have to get out of here sooner or later. We just have to be. So that's basically my feeling. So there's a lot of mixed emotions that goes on with me.
Well, I appreciate you being honest, because that's how I feel too. It's a lot of mixed emotions that go on here as well. You know, but at the same time, like you said, we know it's coming. It is going to get worse. I mean, on Good Morning America. Hold on. Let me do this. Good Morning America. Good Morning America. I'm sitting here watching the news, like, okay, you know, and you know the music that I heard on Good Morning America. I don't even want to repeat it. I mean, they got a song out called WAP, and it was. I had to ask my granddaughter, like, is she saying what I think she's saying? She and my granddaughter smiled like, yeah, mommy, that's yeah, grandma, that's what she's saying. And it's just incredible. There's just there's nothing. Wow, I don't even. You know what, from a sexual standpoint with these kids, I don't know what else they're going to be able to do. Because, when you allow the morals from a sexual standpoint to be relaxed, anything and everything goes. And when the music is reflecting the things that they do, because we know our children imitate what they see everybody else doing. Our children, I'm talking about Israel's children feel like that everybody they see black and everybody they see on TV that's halfway nice looking and black, that they got to be a part of our nation, and they copy after everything they see. I really don't know. I mean, for real, I just really don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, it's just went to a whole nother level, you know, because I couldn't believe that the music that she was singing, what she, and I'm going to say, and you know, it was like my wet AP, and then, you know, and you fill in the blanks with whatever, and I was like, is she saying what I think she's saying? And the kids just have there is no boundaries anymore. They do and sing, and I'm like, well, how do you expect, you know, us to be able to teach our children how to be respectful when the stuff, but you know what, when you get, like I said, when you're getting it from Hollywood, and you know what hurts me the most is when I see our young men, and the only aspirations that they have out of their minds is to be a rapper. I'm going to be a rapper one day. Okay, but what about a scientist? Or what about a doctor? Or what about a lawyer? Have that come into your mind? No, they just want to be rappers because that's the image that the powers that be had put in the front of our children's faces. They the boys want to be rappers and the girls want to be dancers. And it's like, wow, you know. And then you got to go through this whole phase of teaching them over and showing them everybody don't make it. This is not for everybody. Those are his children that he promotes. Y'all's children, for the most part, are not caught in that arena. Now, you do have some that are there, but for the most part, those ones that have made it to a certain level, those people have pledged certain things and agreed to certain things. You know, and you can't, it's hard to penetrate it. It really is. And because you're older, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, you just, oh, you don't understand. And it's like, yes, I do. I understand. You think we're you the first one that went through this? There's nothing new under the sun. But like he said, it's just going to get worse. And we got to brace ourselves for the worst, because I can't imagine it getting no worse. I really can't. I'm scared to even think what worse is. What worse? You know? It's already bad. You know, it just is. And everybody's hooping and hollering and screaming about, we don't want this and defund this. And I'm like, how do you think it's going to be with no police officers? What kind of society you think we're going to have when there's no checks and balances? Because nobody's saying we don't want checks and balances. We just want the checks and balances to be fair. But what do you do when you completely erase them? How do you think you're going to live? Because these kids don't care nothing about no boundaries and stuff. And you know what they've been doing? They've been dangling the rich in front of their face for so long. And these kids is looking at this stuff and wanting what they see. And if they don't get what they want, they take it. You don't make it right. But you know what? It's like a scared person. You can only back them up in the corner for so long. You can only dangle it for so long, and then when they go out there and do what you tell them to do to get it, and they understand the game ain't fair, what you think they gonna do? What you think gonna happen? I'm just asking. Anybody can push one. What do you think gonna happen when you've been dangling this in front of people's face for the longest? Now, a lot of them have gone to college and gotten degrees, and they have not gotten the jobs that the degree scale says that they're supposed to get once they graduate from college, and they're in a bunch of student loan debt and still working from paycheck to paycheck to survive. But guess what? When you get ready, you strutting so-and-so all on TV in front of their face, and they got $10,000 handbags. They got designer clothes on. They got bodyguards watching over them. They flying off in private jets, and they got all kind of stuff. What you think they're going to do? Ain't nobody going to keep watching that. They're like, oh, I'm just going to go get mine. And that's what you produce, because it's been a lie. It's just been a lie. And you just can't keep it up. A lie can't be kept up forever. And somebody going to realize that it's just like the Wizard of Oz, and that's the best way I can get it. That's the best way I can explain it. You know, they kept telling Dorothy and all her little cronies that was with her, if you make it to the Land of Oz, just keep on going up the Yellow Brick Road. Once you get there, the wizard got the answer. And all the things that they had to go through on that Yellow Brick Road, and then they finally get to Oz and find out that the wizard ain't real. What you think gonna happen? It's the same situation with the church. It's the same situation with education. It's the same situation with wealth. It's the same situation with everything. We have been sold a bill of goods. And our generation really came out thinking that we was going to have the world by the tail. And the more that our children's children begin to grow up, they looking like, this ain't real, y'all. It ain't the way it's supposed to be. So that's what you got. That's what you got. It don't make it right. I'm not saying that it's right that they have decided to go at it this way, but that's what they doing. It's terrible. And you get all the way to Oz and you finish your education and you go all the way through school and you go all the way through. I know a whole lot of people right now that's got master's degrees that ain't even making $50,000 a year. Depend on what field you in. So guess what they do? They going after their doctorate to think it's going to make a difference. I'm like, They're not. Now they forgiven some student loans. Well, how do you do that? How do you forget some and not all? I mean, how's that work? Hold on, area code 717. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah. So would you suggest not going to college right now, or just trying to start a business, or would you encourage the youth to go to college and there's no real good end to it anyway. So what would you suggest the youth do besides seek the Most High? Should they try to start a business?
I look at it like this, because I went to school. You have to learn how to do what they need you to do in this society. I'm not against school at all. I love college. I love going to school. I'm not against school. All I'm saying is if you go to school, make it work best for you. Yes, if you have the capacity to start a business, go to school, get all the education you need to understand how to run a business. Do whatever you need to do to come out and run that business. And if you can, at all costs, work for yourself. Yes. So yes to both answers, yes. I do encourage school, and I do encourage starting your own business. That's not the problem. The problem is that most of our people buy from the people that are not associated with us. They, you know what, Dale? I seen this girl on television, and she said she spent $300 on a swimming suit from Kim Kardashian's collection. You should have seen it. We have to start making our people understand that we have to keep the dollars within our community. They buy from everybody else. You know, when they had that unemployment money and they was coming in there and they was giving them people $12,000 and $13,000 in one whop, that them girls was lined outside of the Louis Vuitton store ready to pay $3,000 and $4,000 for a bag that now they can't eat. It's just sitting up on their closet. That, and they back at the food stamp office applying for food stamps for their kids. This is the stuff I'm talking about. Now, that money should have been taken and started a business with, but a lot of people didn't do that. You know what they did? They went and got them PPP loans or whatever they call that mess illegally, and now they're coming after them. Somebody asked me, they was like, Guyana, you going to get a PPP loan for the nation of Yehud? I said, I'm certainly not. I'm not messing with it. I'm not touching it because it's a scam. It's a setup, and they're going to get y'all after it's over with, and sure enough, they're coming after them. That's our people's problems. They can see the rappers put T-shirts on, wear T-shirts and wear certain clothing because that's all they do in them videos is promote product. And they put all that stuff on and they'll go pay $120 for a T-shirt with a skull on the front of it. That's what our people do. So if you can start a business and you have something that a need and people have something that they need, absolutely I'm all for it, but you got to know how to run the business, and that's what school is all about. So I'm not against any of it. Just don't waste the money and don't waste the time. You know, that's how I feel. So that's, you know, that's what we are today. We have to understand how to use it wisely, you know, because if you were smart, you would have took that money and did something to make money with. But you got a $4,000 or $5,000 bag sitting up in the closet just to be able to have it on your shoulder, and you can't afford it. You can't afford it. And we got to stop being manipulated by what we see on TV. Those people do that purposely. When they do those videos and them commercials and all that stuff, they dress them in their clothing. They put their handbags on. Just like you guys was telling me about the digital rapper that they done created. When I watched that video, every last black girl in there had a Birkin bag on her arm. Every last one of them. They was lined up in a row with a Birkin bag on their arm. You know why they did that? Because they want to promote you to go buy something you can't afford. They want you to promote something, and all you got to do is pull up on Google how much Birkin bags cost. They in the thousands of dollars. And every rich woman got the same purse on their arm. They all carry, it's a status symbol. They all carry the same stuff. And when we get out of that mindset and stop wasting time and money on what we see and start building something that you can feel for yourself, you'll realize you're more important than they are. You're just making them rich. That's all you're doing. They sell selling your, they selling their commodities to you, and they dressing up in wrapped clothes, and they bouncing around and dancing with that stuff on their arm and wearing them clothes, and you go out and buy the same stuff and can't afford to have it. That's our problem. So what, long as we look good, you have no idea what them girls pay for them with them front lace wigs. $200, $300, $400, $500. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's who we were. We have always been people to imitate ourselves after other people. That's why we're sitting here today, is because we've looked at the other nations and said, it looked like they having fun. What? How do you serve your God? What do you do? Oh, you do that? We don't do that over here. Show me how to do that. And the Most High told us up front, whatever you do, don't go serving other gods. Don't get fascinated by what they do, because that stuff ain't real. It ain't nothing but wood and stone. He said, don't go over there serving their God. Don't be trying to figure out how they do what they do and when they do what they do. And that's exactly what we still doing it today. What you got on, how much that costs, and you know you can't afford it. You got 4 or 5 babies running behind you, and you can't afford it. Same situation. It's just switched around different. The only God now that they worshiping is money and stuff. I said, I wonder how these girls feel right now that they ain't got that kind of money to deal with no more. It's about prioritizing and putting your priorities in the right place. You just can't live life like that. It's irrelevant. So what? I know a friend of mine got out of jail. The first thing he did was tell me he bought a pair of $1,500 shoes. Are you kidding me? I said, who cares what you wear and what you got on? We in a pandemic. Don't nobody care nothing about that. No, I take that back. $700 shoes, and the suit was supposedly worth $700. Crazy stuff. We are mentally warped. Because it's still about look at me and look what I can do for me. Look at me. Look how. And it ain't no fun if you can't brag in front of somebody. So, I mean, you know, we just have to, you know, and that's the mind. That's where this power of Yah is supposed to transform the mind. Don't get me wrong. It's not that you're not supposed to like nice things, because I do. I like the best of the best, but I know I can't afford that. And I'm not going to put myself in a hole trying to get it just to say it's sitting in my closet. So, you know, you have to be able to understand where you are and plan to come up and be to the point where you can afford something a little better. And as you come up a little higher, you can afford something better. But I ain't spending no $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 on no Birkin bag just to have it sitting up in my closet. So, I mean, you know, those are the things we talking about. Yes, I do agree with school. I do think it's necessary for you to go and figure out how to operate in this society where we are right now, because they have certain things set up that you have to get licensing. You have to know how to do accounting. You have to know how to do a customer base. You have to know how to do marketing and all those things, and you need to learn how to do those things. I'm all for that in this society. You know, and then you decide whether you're going to take those skills that you pay for and go into a company and help promote what they're doing, or you're going to build your own. So everybody can't have their own business. Everybody don't know how to do that. Everybody's not skilled enough to do that. But if you are, do it. Everybody don't want to do all that, because it's a lot of work. It's you working 24/7. It's a lot of work. You know, I was telling Malcolm that yesterday. I said, you know what I think about all the time is that, I said, what if the Most High touch somebody's heart tomorrow and say, Yaina, the Most High told me to give you $3 billion. $3 billion. If the Most High touch somebody's heart and they send me an email and said, call me, I have something for you. And I called them and said, yes, and the Most High put it on my heart to give you $3 billion. So that you could, you know, run the nation of Yehuda and do whatever you needed to do. I said, do you know that if I really sat down and thought about it, that there's maybe 4 people, maybe 5, that have been consistent with the nation of Yehuda, that have given their time, their talent, and their treasure without me having to ask? You know, and I'm not saying this to anybody else, because I'm not trying to promote anybody to do anything. I'm just telling you how there are people that have you don't have to ask him to do it. You don't have to ask him to do it. I said that there may be four, maybe six at the most. That if he said, oh, I want you to bless those people that have been a blessing to you and that have been consistent to the nation of Judah, it might be six. And we've had thousands of people come through this place. Thousands of people to come through this place. I said, and anything that means something to you, you put your effort into, your time, your talent, and your training. And it don't always have to be money. It don't always have to be money. It don't. You know, and you have to be able to, you know, and I don't beg anybody to do anything, because I feel like this. When he gave me this charge to do, I went into it with both feet. And I didn't always have money to do it. The money was not always there, but he made a way. Some people would donate their treasure, and you know, they gave with their heart what they, some people still giving to this day. Every month they send something. I have a lady and her husband, every month they send something. It ain't a lot, but it means a lot. Now, I'm not saying this for y'all to start doing that. Don't believe me. This is not what I'm doing. But I'm telling you that when the Most High can see your commitment and your heart, though, you know, and if I had the money today, I would bless that couple. It's a few people that have committed time, talent, and trade. It don't have to be money. So, you know, and I said that to say this, wherever your heart is, that's where you'll put your effort. That's where it goes. Now, some people come just to study. Some people come just to get the information. So it's a reason why we as a people do what we do. So in the meantime, do whatever you have to do to make it happen. You know, and that's just real talk. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but you know what this pastor told me that a long time ago, and I'll never forget what she said. I said, your church is beautiful. It is so many people here. She said, you know what, sis? She said, you see all these people out in the audience? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and the musicians and all the people up on the stage and the lights and all that. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, it's usually about 10 people to make this thing work the way it works. And she had hundreds of people in her church. I said, 10? She said, and I'm being generous. It's usually 10 people. And now I understand. I understand. I understand what she means. Yeah, I really do. I get it. Because, you know, you got to, and those are the people that will usually get, they will go someplace that the Most High going to bless. He just going to bless. He really is. And that's just how it is. Everybody's not business owners. Everybody's not entrepreneurs. Some people just come to get a check. And it ain't nothing wrong with that either. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to do what you got to do. And that's real talk. She said it's usually 10 people that I can put my finger on to say this person was here to do this. This person makes sure this is done. This person does this. And we as a group of 10 people work together. Everybody come to shout. Everybody dress up. They fall through here with their kids. They leave a mess when they leave. They say, man, we had some church. She said, but it's only 10 people that really make it go down. I said, wow. Didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. I do. And to those people who have been there for the nation of Yehuda, thank you so much. I want to take the moment and say thank you so much. I really do appreciate everything that you do. You know, I'm not a person to beg for money. I don't believe in that. My son told me the other day, he said, why don't you charge for your YouTube channel? You could get money on that. I said, no, the word is free. I'm not getting ready to do all that. Now, when the Most High decides to bless us, he will. I'm not getting ready to do all that. I'm not going to do that. The word is free. It's been free. That Bible been free for a long time. It ain't nothing that come in my mind that I can't share with everybody else. The word is free. You have to get to know the Elohim so he'll move on your behalf. But I'm telling you, it's like when the Most High would heal the 10 lepers. He said only one of them came back to say thank you. The reason why he put that in there. The reason why. Hold on. Eric, code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I actually wanted to comment on what the sister had said. I appreciate what you were saying as well. But she was saying, well, should we go to school? And my response to that is, yes, schooling is good. It teaches you how to think critically if you have done correctly. Also how to put your, you know, make a presentation in terms of the written word and the oral word. But also one of the things that I used to be an advisor, and one of the things that I would advise anybody is learn a skill. You need a skill that you can pick up and take with you. That's one of the things. Sometimes when you're just getting an education and you always have to go and ask somebody for a job, you're dependent on them. But when you actually have a skill, it's not only something that you can just take with you wherever you go. It's something that you can actually teach someone else. And so I think that both are good. But I also think that there really needs to be an emphasis on a skill, particularly when our community has been impacted as it has by men being incarcerated unjustly in many instances, justly in others. But one of the things that we have are laws on the book that say if you have the 13th Amendment, slavery has been ended except with regard to incarceration. So there, if that's the case, then you're really diminished in the labor market, regulated to what's called a secondary labor market. But if you have a skill, you can take that skill. We need plumbers. We need electricians. We need coders. Anything that you can control and empower yourself with, that's one thing. So that's what I would say. I say, as the Most High says, with all thy getting, get understanding. So we understand that in this society, you it's just like being bilingual. You need to be able to operate in many different venues. So that's one piece of advice that I would give anybody if I were advising them. And then also I was thinking about this being structural. One of the things we have is every time we've had viable communities, those communities have been destroyed. We think about Greenwood. There's a little town in California called Allensworth. It was a very prosperous town. It was started by Colonel Allen Allensworth. He had a vision. Many people came there because they said, we want to empower ourselves. Had the first black sheriff in town, had its own post office. It was thriving. But there was an issue with water. The adjacent town that was white received water. That town did not. You cannot live without water. And so the town was really crippled. So right now, it's still there, but it's not viable in many ways because it never really was able to thrive in the way that the founder envisioned and the way that the people who went there envisioned. So we have structural things that are done. We can think about cities when they put a highway in and they always run it through our community. That's because they want to cut us off from jobs and also want to cut us off from other access to other sources of revenue. So if you have your own businesses, as was the case in Greenwood, as was the case in Allensworth, you can keep your dollars within the community. You can see people who are empowered by being able to do for themselves. You can think, oh, I can be a cleaner. I can run a theater. I can be a banker. I can be a doctor. I can be anything I want because I see it. But when that is taken from you and every time you try to do it, all you're told is you're a consumer. Like you say, you can buy this $300 swimsuit or you can buy this bag. What it's done, it's replaced actual wealth with a symbol of wealth. And so it's really destructive in so many ways, this imagery. And underlying it is this idea that we cannot manufacture these things ourselves, we can't do for ourselves. But there has been a very overt and documented effort by the government and by local governments to disempower our communities. And so that's one thing. So it's a mindset that has to be enacted within us and be changed. And one of the ways is as we as a people come together and we are able to see people with different varying kinds of resources and we can say, oh, I can aspire to do that. There are so many things that I never thought about because I was never allowed to actually have access to them to see how they operate in a daily way and how I can be a part of that. So there are many different things that I thought about as you were talking about. The other thing that I thought about was there's something called manifest destiny. And when people came here, when these European settlers came here, they came with this idea that that was their God-given mandate. But underlying that was also this idea that they didn't know whether or not the Most High really favored them or God really favored them. So they felt that prosperity was one way to have some indication that, yes, you know, God is favoring me. In our community, we're told, just pray. All you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you. Nothing else. We're not told that, you know, as he said in Deuteronomy 28, if you do these things, if you obey these laws, statutes, and commandments, the blessings will overcome you. One of the things I've been saying to people that I've been talking to is that when things are going wrong in our lives and we think, how can I turn this around? It seems like we as a community have been impacted so negatively. The Most High has given us a way out. He says, if you obey my laws, statutes, and commandments, this is a covenant that I have with you as a people that will last forever. The blessings will overtake you. They will actually start to override whatever you're experiencing, because the things that you were doing that brought on, quote-unquote, curses, you will not be doing, because compliance with the law will actually work against that. So I'll stop talking. My thoughts.
All righty. Well, thank you for your comment. I appreciate that. So I just wanted to share that with you. I just wanted to thank you so much for that. I agree with, you know, that what you said. It's just a lot. That's all I can say. I just, you know, I want to play this song for you, and please don't get mad at me, but I got to let y'all hear this. It's just going to be a little bit of it. And this is a arena where there are thousands of teenagers, probably tens of thousands of teenagers. And I'm just going to play a little bit of it. But I want you to understand what their mindset is, because some of y'all might not know this, because I didn't even know this. But I just want you to hear this, just 1 second of it. Hold on, here we go. I want to make sure I get it, so we got it. I'm just going to play just a little bit of it. You tell me what you think, what kind of teenagers, what kind of women, or what kind of children we're producing, young adults we're producing from this. Here we go. Check it out.
Muffled, so I didn't really hear it.
Okay, I want to make sure you hear it. I'm going to turn this down because I want to make sure you hear this. Hold on. Here we go. We're going to try it one more time. All right, here we go. Check it out.
No, I couldn't hear any words. I can hear the sound and the tone of it, but I couldn't hear the words.
Well, that's a good thing. She said, give me all you got, this wet-ass pussy. That's what the name of the song is. It's this wet-ass pussy. They call it WAP. And when I tell you it's thousands of young people at this concert, I mean thousands of them. Give me all you got for this wet-ass pussy. And I had to call my granddaughter. I said, is she saying what I think? yeah, Grandma, that's the song. Wow. Incredible. And you wonder why. I mean, I'm just telling you. You wonder why. Hold on. Area code 330. Your mic is open. You on the air.
Hey, how you doing, sister?
I'm hanging. What about you?
Okay, I'm hanging. I just wanted to tell you, I couldn't hear it either, but since you said it, I understand what it is. But what I really wanted to tell you is I was introduced to your show, and I appreciate you doing it because sometimes you really make me laugh, and then sometimes you really make me think. So that's all I wanted to say. Just thanks for having the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But, yeah, I mean, incredible. It's incredible. I mean, it is incredible. I have never heard anything like this before in my whole life. I really have not. And this is what they listening to. So, you know what Malcolm used to always tell me? She was like, you are expecting too much. And I said, what you mean? She said, you don't realize what's going on out there. She said, you are relating things to when you was out there. She said, but, I'm gonna read the lyrics to you. It says, whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. Holla up. I said, certified freaks, 7 days a week. Wet ass pussy, put that pull out game is weak, whoa, ah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you fucking some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet ass pussy. That's what they saying. That's the stuff that our children are bouncing to at the clubs. Beat it up, nigga. Catch a charge. Extra large, extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top. I want to ride. I do a kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth. Look in my eyes. This pussy is wet. Come take a dive. Incredible. Man, I don't even know what to tell you. Listen. This is what we're dealing with. This is where it's going. Like you said, it's going to get worse. Can it get any worse? Can it get any worse?
Oh, yeah, I think it can. That's why I'm bracing myself.
Jesus. This is what
I thought it was bad when I was a teenager and growing up, but that's phenomenal there. That's just crazy stuff there. Who would write a song like that? That's something else.
I'm glad it ain't just me. Your mouth was like, you ain't out here, girl. I done seen some stuff. She said they come to the club with no clothes on. They have on a cat suit with just a nipple, things covering their nipples. They ain't got no panties under it. They got on high heel shoes. She said they off the chain out here. And you heard how many people it was in the background chanting that song. It's what we dealing with. It's what we dealing with. It's off the chain. It's off the chain. You know, there's no tact no more. Everything is, like I said, anything, everything go. And like you said, who would write a song like that? For what purpose? So how you supposed to get a young lady that you trying to explain to who y'all is and how you supposed to follow his law and they listen to that? How's that supposed to work? This was on Good Morning America. I was like, is she saying what I think she's saying? On Good Morning America. Hey. Sister Yasantia, you got a comment? Anybody have a comment? I'm opening up everybody's mic. I'm going to ask you. Eric Code 717, you got a comment? Anybody got a comment on that?
I was just trying to look up to see who was promoting the record, because the thing is everybody has an agenda. And one of the things that I know is this: as long as Israel convinces to do this, the Gentiles will stay in power. We have been taught to pray for them so that they can be delivered. We have been taught to do those things that will result in the curses following, because you're talking about whoredom. I've just been reading in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. This is the very reason why they were cast out of the land and why the Most High said, I'm going to have to leave you right where I find you, and you're going to have to suffer through the consequences of your behavior. Jeremiah is begging and pleading, and people are jumping bad with him. But, you know, there are consequences. The good thing is that the Most High says that he will never, ever just totally divorce us as a people, but he certainly will allow us to live out the consequences. And then we're talking about fornication. We're talking about whoredom. We're talking about all of these different things that really will disempower the community. But also, I start to think, who's behind this? I doubt that we have someone who's from our nation who's putting this stuff out, because as long as these things stay in place, they stay in power.
Yep. You have no idea. It is off the chain. It's off the chain, y'all. This is what they chanting. Like you said, they are teaching whoredom. They are teaching fornication to our Israelite children. They teaching whoredom and fornication. She said, tie me up like I'm surprised. Let's role play. I'll wear a disguise. I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage. Make it cream. Make me scream. Out in public, make a scene. I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you how I can get this ring. Crazy. This ain't God, y'all. This has nothing to do with the Most High, y'all. This is totally something that is demonic, because it goes against Yah's laws. Our women are never supposed to be whores. We are never supposed to act like this. The lyrics of this song, the Most High does not promote this behavior. He promotes young men and women to marry each other and have a family. They would never say these lyrics back in my day. Man, I'm telling y'all, it ain't no restrictions no more. Everything is out in the open. Whatever you want to do, you do whatever you want to do.
Okay, so here's who owns it. Atlantic Records. Atlantic Records owns it. Started by Ahmet Erdogan, and he is of Turkish origin. I believe that means he's Ishmaelite. One of the things we have to think, there's been a war raging. We may have forgotten who our enemies are, but our enemies have never forgotten who we are. That's one of the people who started it. The other person is Herb Abramson. Yeah. So, yeah. So my thing is this, you're looking at them, but this has been planned. And also, one of the other things I would look at is when we look at Atlantic Records UK, I want to see what other artists they promote and if they have them singing these same lyrics. These lyrics are not acceptable for any other group, but we are the group that when we start doing as the Most High says, this thing comes down. When we start doing as the Most High says, all of those people who have done these things to us, what they have done to us will be done to them. As long as they can keep us doing these same kinds of things that bring, look, the Most High says, my word will not come back. It will accomplish the end wherewith it was sent. It's a law. If he says it's going to result in a certain outcome, it will result in that outcome, regardless of who you are. So those people who were saying, we don't know if the Most High favors us, but we're going to try and do the best we can, there's a blessing that comes with that, even though they're not Israelites. Likewise.
Guess what? All you got to do is pull up the video on YouTube and see her at the festival. It says Cardi B featuring Megan Thee Stallion at the Wireless Festival 2022. Look at all the women that are in the, it's incredible. But guess what? We come along and we say, well, you know, Yah loves you. And you're an Israelite. And all you got to do is just trust Yah and be faithful to Yah and keep his law statutes. And they looking at you like, okay. It's like, okay. Hold on, sister. Area code 828, your mic is open. I'm going to come back to you, Sister Yusantia. 828, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I think that you're right about the agenda. Now, there's another song out by Beyonce called Church Girl that they're talking about, and they're saying that she sampled the Clark sister song, that gospel group, and they're saying that the Clark sisters thanked Beyonce for sampling her song. And she's talking about church singing and out there twerking and whatnot. And, yeah, that's all on the YouTube also. So, yeah, you got a point. That's probably an agenda. Yeah, there is an agenda, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Sister Yusantia said. It is, and well, we know it always is. Like I said, it is always, all this is set up to, this society is going in a direction that's really not going to be good. It's not going to be good. There's no sexual boundaries anymore. It's that when you get out there and you make a song like this, and you, I mean, and the way she dancing and holding her crouch and with her tongue out, it's off the chart. You come on now. And I'm not talking to artists because you do what you do. I'm talking to our children, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelite children. Come on, y'all. Come on, you got to know that's wrong. Even if you ain't, even if you don't know who you are, you know that's wrong.
Not necessarily. Because if you see a person doing this and they're the ones that are prospering, they're the ones that are being held up as the example of having achieved the quote-unquote American dream, what are we looking at? We're looking at an example of what it means to be viable in this community, what it means to be attractive in this community, what is supposed to be the acceptable standard for our community, but it's not being put in place by our community, and that's the reason why until we control the resources, we have our own movie theaters. We have our own filmmakers who do not have to please someone else. We have our own people who take care of the community, from taking care of the streets and keeping them clean to making sure that children have a safe place to stay, until we are in control of everything and we start saying, wait, our communities are safe. Our communities are peaceful. Our communities are prosperous. We don't need anybody else. But right now, that's not what we're seeing because, as I said, these things are structural. It's not just with one person, and it's all about wealth. And the Most High has promised us that we will be prosperous if we obey the law, statutes, and commandments. But these things are designed to take us away from them. Everything that we're talking about lies in the face of the Most High. And when we talk about, we're going to Ishtar, Easter. It was supposed to be Passover. They changed it to Easter. But it's after the goddess Ishtar. She's a goddess of fertility. This is the very same thing. So when we're talking about the gods of this nation, this is one of them. We worship at the shrine of money, and I say we, because that's the way this society is set up. All of the things are an affront to the Most High because it is a war. And the thing that is really most valuable is us as a people, because we are the ones that can change the trajectory of this battle. But until we really realize who we are and start doing what the Most High says, we have to be able to see beyond this stuff. And maybe that's why it's going to have to come down, but he will save as many as he can. But there are some people who will not change. And that's one of the things that's been showing up in the scriptures too. I used to think all Israelites would be saved, but not all of them are going to be saved because we do have free will. But there, as we've also heard, there will be some people who say, I hate what I did. But because the eyes are blinded, because all we can see is what's being presented to us is the way to escape the situation that we're in. And that's what people want. They actually want to just have a life that has some kind of value. And if that value comes through wearing a purse, a car that you can't afford, but all of it takes us away from control of the wealth that the Most High says is ours. It's a battle.
Yeah, it's just, it's a, it's a, it is. serious warfare, you guys. The enemy has pulled out all the stops. They're not holding back nothing. They're not hiding anything. It's a all free will. Whatever you feel like doing, you do whatever you want to do. And when you have this type of stuff out there in the back of in the minds of our children with a beat to it, and they chanting this stuff, it's out to change. That's all I can say. I mean, we really are going to have to, you know, I'm telling everybody to get discouraged because there's still hope, but we really going to have to do some serious praying for real, you know. But the Most High, that's why he said when we get home, we are going to loathe ourselves. That's why he said that. Can you imagine? When he said you will loathe yourself, that's Ezekiel 36:31. He said, I'm going to read it real quick before we call this a night, because this is important. We don't understand the stuff that we are doing. He said, then shall you remember. Oh, I got to go back. Hold on. Let me find the right one, because I want to definitely be able to bring this up and pull this up like it's supposed to be. Because this is serious. I mean, this is really serious. This is something else right here. This is just too much. It really is. It just is too much. They don't care nothing about no Bible. They be like, what that got to do with anything? That Bible ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Oh, yes, indeed. Hold on. Let me go here. I'm on Ezekiel 36. It says, okay, here we go. Let me go down here a little bit further. He said, I will also save you from your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach or famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. He said, you're going to be sick. When he finally pull you out of this mess and you look at the things that you have done and the conversations and the words that have come out of your mouth, you're going to be sick and ashamed, and you're going to hate yourself. That's got to be real bad for you to look back and say, oh, I just hate myself. Oh, I just wish I hadn't done that. It's almost like they're under a spell or something. It is. He says, not for your sake do I this, saith the Most High, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Most High Elohim, in that day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in cities, and the waste shall be built. And after all that we've done, he's going to still come and get us and love on us. You're going to hate yourself for some things and some words that come out of your mouth. Oh, I ain't even said the worst part of it. Where is that at? Hold on. I just seen it just a few minutes ago. Just give me one little second. This is the worst part of it. Oh, where is that at? Oh, here it is. She says, I don't want to spit. I want to gulp. I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that swing in the back of my throat. So not only is she talking about having sex, but she's talking about sucking on something. It's incredible. It's just, I don't even know.
I'm looking at Atlantic Records lineup. They have ABBA. They have AC/DC. They also have a lot of artists I see. B.I.G., the notorious B.I.G. was on here. They have Kelly Clarkson. She's not singing that kind of stuff. There's Chris Rock. You know, I see Jay-Z, Gunna. I don't know who he is. Meek Mill, Kevin Gates, Danny Ocean, Wiz Khalifa, Sean Combs, all of the people. Snoop Dogg. Are they telling us to follow the law, statutes and commandments? You know, the thing is that the people that we are being that are being put in front of us are singing things that are to our detriment. And then I look at these other artists. I know Kelly Clarkson. I know ABBA. I know the lyrics.
This is not what they're singing. Dancing Queen, this is not what they're singing. They're not singing, WAP. Mark Wahlberg. Young Never Broke Again. I'm telling you. But no, Jack Harlow. I'm not familiar with him, but I'm just looking through here. Ray Charles, some of the people that we're very familiar with. And so we become accepting. We think, oh, there was Atlantic, or they're okay, but then this other stuff that comes on the backside, it negates all of that, because what they're now presenting, they gained entryway into our community. They gained some credibility. We don't look at them with the side eye anymore. We think, oh, you know what, well, people are Phil Collins. I know Phil Collins, too. He doesn't sing that Believe You Me. This stuff is sinister.
It is.
And the thing is behind it all, one of the things that underlies this that people may not think about consciously, but I know they probably think of it subconsciously, is nobody owns it. We don't own these labels. It would be one thing if we owned the labels and we were doing our own people, and we don't even control the wealth that's generated by this stuff.
Show don't.
So it will not go back into the community.
I wouldn't even want it. Like, you keep all that. It's like taking dope money and trying to submit it to Yah. He even told you that when in the Old Testament, he said, when you making money from prostitution, don't bring that into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Yah told him that. So, you can't clean it up no kind of way whatsoever. You're going to have to live righteous over here and do that thing which is right. And those lyrics, like you said, are sinister. And it's to get people caught. Oh, it ain't nothing but a song. No, it is. It's more than a song. Because you speaking words of sin out of your mouth that's just completely against the law of Yah. You doing things out of from that song that completely makes you break his law. We ain't supposed to have no whores over here. You ain't supposed to do. You're supposed to have a husband and some children. He promotes marriage. Marriage is honorable in the eyes of the Most High. It ain't supposed to be no free. Somebody told me once, not too long ago, this young lady just got divorced. She's like, I ain't ever getting married no more. I said, I don't know how you going to do that. I said, how you going to do that? She said, what you mean? I said, if you supposed to be living for the Most High, you ain't going to be able to be out here dating and sleeping around. So you're going to have to eventually get married, or you're going to be celibate for the rest of your life. So those are the two options that you have. Just looked at me. I said, well, you deal with it however you want to deal with it. Because you can't come over here and do that kind of stuff and just think it's going to be okay. You ain't going to be able to have boyfriends like you did when you didn't know what was going on. You ain't going to be able to do that. So everybody living the lifestyle that they think they want to live, but, you know, like I said, we got work to do, y'all. We don't stop praying, Israel. That's the only thing I can tell you is don't stop praying. Don't ever stop praying, because we got to continue to pray for and keep talking to your young adult children, your younger children, and for the younger children, you monitor the things that they watch and they listen to. You're going to have to.
One of the things that struck me is when people are talking, just like the Most High created, he said, in the beginning was where he spoke the world into existence. When we speak, our words have creative power. This stuff that we speak, it is actually creating our reality. With reinforcing this stuff, it's going into us, but we are actually creative beings made in the image of the Most High God, or Yahuwah is a creative being. When we are speaking, we are speaking our reality. The things that will manifest. My family, we just had this discussion. It was either yesterday or the day before. We have to watch what we're saying. We must do that, because we are creating reality. The things that we want to see manifest, we have to make sure that we speak those things. And even things that we just kind of say as a one-off, thinking of, oh, it doesn't really matter. It does if it's not put in a positive context, because we can actually say, I'm just telling the truth. But the truth does not have to be stated in such a way that is going to have a negative outcome.
Yeah.
Just because
what
it's the truth.
Say, life and death is where? In the power of the tongue.
That's it in a nutshell.
Life and death is the power of the tongue. That's the word. So when you tell you, when you say there's some whores out here, you say, No, we're not. We are princesses. We are royal nation. Well, no, ain't none of that. He said, he told the men of Israel, don't make whores out of the daughters of Israel. So, no, we're not. That is not how we carry ourselves. Now, if that's how you want to carry yourself, then that's on you. But no, we're not. And I'm talking to Israel. I am talking to no other nation but Israel, because it's up to these other people from these other nations to deal with their children. I'm talking about the children of Israel. We don't care, the young women of Israel, we don't carry ourselves like that. Not ever. I don't care whether you're in a project or you living in Beverly Hills, we don't carry ourselves like that. That's just too far.
That is also why. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because I'm getting ready to end the show as soon as you finish.
Oh, one of the things I was thinking, that is also one reason why we have to be attractive. You know, as my mom said, you don't want to look like you just stepped, you just came out of the cotton field or something. We have to be, as the Most High said we are supposed to be. He had us dressed up. We were royal. We had the jewels. We had the things. But we also had an attitude. Hopefully we will have an attitude that really is reflective of the Spirit. You know, of wisdom. You know, so if you ask, if you want to ask something, ask of me wisdom. You know, the things that are laudable, the things that are lovely. She says, what are things that are lovely? What are things that are good? Think on these things. That's what should be coming out of our mouth. And that's what should be reflected not only in our inner being, but in our outer being. So we should be as attractive as we can be to counteract some of this stuff. So that when people look at them and say, whew, because I've seen some stuff. I was in the airport yesterday. It was like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but I've seen some people, I think, okay, that's love. I like that too. But unfortunately, when I see, cutoffs, and the cutoffs come below the butt cheek, but then you have holes that are on the butt, yeah, this is something else. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, hey, at least they got on shorts. I've seen a young lady didn't even have, all she had on was black panties. She had on a black see-through bodysuit with the nipple things on her nipples and some high-heel shoes. It was a cat suit. It was a see-through bodysuit. It was black. And I had to take a double look. Like, am I seeing what I... And she was just strutting like it wasn't no big deal. And to me, now, she don't have no clothes on. But, hey, that's from what I hear in the clubs and in the bars, which I don't visit, they doing that kind of stuff now. They wearing little or nothing. There's no moral responsibility or boundaries anymore. Everybody do what they feel like doing. That's why the men treat them the way they get treated. That's why they when you get ready to go look for somebody to spend some time with or to marry somebody, you done did all the stuff the song done told you to do. I'm just going to be real with it. And yeah, it's cute when you singing it and all that stuff, but when you out there doing it, this is a totally different situation. So I'm just saying, you know, that's just a lot going on right there. That's a lot going on for the children of Israel. Now, the rest of the world, that's what y'all want to do. That's fine. I'm talking about the children. I'm talking about the young people that belong to the children of Israel. The children of Israel. I'm talking about the conscious and unconscious children of Israel. Now, you guys are going too far. If you think that's all right, we really got to sit down and redo this job over again, because somebody's not listening. Because this should be a whole target market of young people that say, no, I don't get down like that. I don't even want to hear that. Man, I don't want to be a part of nothing like that. I don't even want that music playing in my car, in my house, nowhere. But, I'm hoping that we do have some that's saying that. That's just a lot. But guess what? It's time for us to go. We won't be far away. We're going to be praying, and we're going to be probably talking about this some more, because this is off the chain right here. I mean, everybody talking about Beyonce song, this right here is off the chain. I mean, for real. You know, you know, that's just too much. Listen, we're going to keep on. It's more to it, too. It's more than that. We're going to get on all of it, because we got to come to this. Got to stop. Or there ain't going to be nobody left. You're going to keep on, and there ain't going to be nobody left. You know? And it don't, and I'm going to say this to Israel, it don't help when we got groups and stuff telling women that's in Israel to suck their husband's stuff. Whatever you do in your bedroom, that's between you and your husband. You don't need to put that on the internet, on YouTube, for everybody to know what you do. Whether it's right or wrong, we don't need to do that. We have to set a standard. So on that note, I'm going to end the call, you know, because it seems like every time we turn around, right when we think we made some headway, man, we get kicked back 3 steps. It's like, geez. But the Most High has to let you know how serious this thing is. Because like she said, the best word she could say, this is sinister, and it is. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we're going to keep on praying. We'll see you through the rest of the week on our regularly scheduled programs. And you pray for me as I will pray for you, and we're going to pray for our nation that we hurry up and be the people that y'all want us to be so that we can exit us out of here. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night.